This is Personal Jurisdiction,
a podcast where we get personal with lawyers about their careers.
We're your hosts.
I'm Allison Friedman.
And I'm Hallie Ritsu.
Over the past two seasons, nearly all of our guests have talked about the huge impact that participating in their law school clinics had on their legal education and career path.
So we decided to put together a special series to learn more about current law students' clinic experiences. That means this June, we're featuring law students from schools across the country to talk about their experiences in law school clinics and how their work in the clinics has shaped their law school experience and their plans for the future.
We hope you enjoy this Student Clinic Spotlight series. Hi, everyone. Today, we're talking to Jessica Patiganan, who just graduated from the University of Michigan Law School. Jessica participated in the Workers' Rights Clinic during the second semester of her 1L year. I also had the pleasure of working with Jessica in the Civil Criminal Litigation Clinic during her 2L and 3L years. We can't wait to hear about the variety of clinic experiences Jessica had while in law school. Hi, everyone. We are back on the Personal Jurisdiction podcast for our Student Clinic Summer Spotlight. And today we're so excited to welcome Jessica Patiganan from the University of Michigan Law School to the podcast. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So we'll just jump right in and talk a little bit about why it is you went to law school. Obviously, you just graduated, so this is kind of the capstone of that experience. So if you can roll it back for us and tell us a little bit about what your thinking was when you were deciding to go to law school.
Yeah, so I don't think there was ever a definitive point in time where I can tell you that this is when I decided I was going to go to law school. I think in high school, law school was suggested to me as one possible option for my career. And I think largely based on my academic success so far and my personality type being type A, but I don't think the trope that I like to argue was even really true. I wasn't part of a debate team. I wasn't involved in mock trial. It was just kind of thrown out there as an option. And so I let that marinate for a little bit. And then when I went to Berkeley for undergrad, I kind of went in with the full intention of going to law school afterwards. I had decided by that point, I thought it would be something that I liked and that I could be good at. Because I liked people. I wanted a job where I was working with people and problem solving and public speaking and counseling. And so that at that point, I kind of knew that's what I wanted to do. And then what kind of lawyer I wanted to be and why, that has continued to evolve over time. But I think going into college, that was on my radar.
So once you were in law school, and the thing we want to highlight the most today is your clinic experience. I know you did a lot of other amazing things in law school too, but can you tell us about your clinic work? I know you were one of those amazing students who did a clinic just about every single semester that you were in law school. So I'm going to wager that it was something meaningful to you and a big part of your law school experience. So can you start from the beginning and tell us about your clinic work?
Yeah, so that's correct. I was involved in a clinic every semester I was allowed to, which would be everything except 1L fall. My 1L spring semester, I participated in the Workers' Rights Clinic. I worked on assisting Michigan workers in filing and litigating their unemployment insurance claims. I really enjoyed the work. I prepared for telephonic hearings before administrative law judges and kind of got my feet wet with some client counseling. In the middle of that semester is when COVID hit. And so the floodgates for unemployment insurance opened in a way that was just really unheard of at that point in time, but did get to finish the semester continuing to work on those kinds of claims.
What was it, Jessica, about clinics that piqued your interest so early in law school? Why did you decide to go ahead and do a clinic your second semester in law school? I think it's great that Michigan allows you to do that.
Yeah, it was a selling point for me that Michigan allowed me to do that. I think a lot of law schools don't, but more and more are beginning to allow that option. I came to law school because I wanted to be a lawyer and a practicing lawyer and one that worked with clients. And so I came into law school with the intention of doing that as soon as they possibly could, that they would let me. And so I really wanted to begin developing those skills and seeing what I liked and didn't like early on in a way that was different from standard doctrinal classes.
Obviously, we have worked very extensively together in the civil and criminal litigation clinic. So after you finished your semester in the workers' rights clinic, you decided that you wanted to continue to do clinics, continue to do field work and actually work with real clients, as you said. getting your feet wet and what it would be like to be a lawyer. So you joined the Civil Criminal Litigation Clinic at the beginning of your 2L year. And in an unprecedented fashion, did it for the full 2 years, all of 2L and all of 3L. So can you tell us about some of the work that you did in CCLC and some of the skills that you gained through the experience in the clinic?
Yeah, I loved my clinic experience. I couldn't get enough of it, clearly. I kind of went in knowing I wanted to do litigation work, but my only previous experience was actually criminal white collar work. So I wanted to explore civil work and just kind of see what I might like, what might be interested in for after graduation. So I actually focused mostly on housing cases, usually landlord-tenant eviction cases that would morph into an affirmative claim defense or kind of an affirmative case for the tenant in some form. I also worked on a criminal appellate matter, which I enjoyed, but I quickly found that housing law was something I really liked, and I liked being in the courtroom. So very early on, my first semester, I actually got to argue a motion in Zoom court, and our client won, which was awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that was really, really fun and something I enjoyed the practice of doing and realized, okay, being in court, being a litigator, working with clients is definitely something that I want to do and continue to work on these kinds of cases. In my last semester, I personally took 2 depositions in a housing case, including one of the opposing party.
Nice.
So amazing. The kind of opportunity to build these skills has just really been incredible. And obviously growing tangible skills I'm going to take with me moving forward has been like one of the important parts of clinic work here for me. But the biggest thing why I kept coming back, the biggest reason why I kept coming back was because of my client work. The client work is so fulfilling, and law school classes can't even compare. They're not in the same bucket. So being able to call a client and tell them that they're not going to be evicted, or to assist a client in receiving settlement money so they can buy a house, are things that just you can't, are so beyond the scope of law school. I can't even put them into words how like fulfilling it is. And I mean, that's why I came to law school. So I think I kept coming back for that because I had established relationships with my clients that I didn't want to leave as long as I could continue to do the work for them. In addition to kind of my skill building and my client work, like learning lawyering skills is something that law school isn't institutionally built to do. So I think, you know, law school teaches you to think a certain way, to read cases, to even memorize law for an exam, but it doesn't teach you how to be a lawyer, like what that actually looks like. And if you've never worked before law school, you also don't have any sense of what that looks like leaving law school. But clinics do that. And so figuring out like workflows, breaking down a big problem into tangible solutions, seeing a big picture, deciding steps based on strategy, and discovering and deciding what kind of lawyer I want to be. Like, clinics really helped me with that in a way that law school didn't provide those kinds of lawyering skills.
I also just want to highlight that, Jessica, you mentioned your relationships with clients, and one of Jessica's clients who she worked with for the entire 2 years over the course of a very long case. She was actually so excited that Jessica was graduating that she was going to come to her graduation. That's how close of a relationship they developed. And because of some extenuating circumstances, she ended up not being able to come on that day. But I mean, they had an incredibly close relationship, and she worked with this client for 2 full years and got an incredible result in her case that ended up allowing her to own her own home in the end. So yeah. That's just kind of the type of relationships we're talking about.
She was, I mean, it was too sweet of her. She's very, very lovely. And I'm glad that we got to help her kind of move into her new home and out of the situation she was in.
I love how you compared and contrasted your idea about how sometimes we hear the story that people decide to go to law school because they were argumentative as a child or something like that, and how you have been able to, Jessica, use your clinic experience and learn those lawyering skills to develop into the litigator that you are and find that niche that's right for you, who you are, what's important to you. I think that's something so cool about clinics. You're given the opportunity to develop into your own type of lawyer instead of kind of fitting into these things that we see kind of in popular media or just stories that we hear from other classmates and things like that.
Right. And also being able to see clinical supervisors or employers and workplaces, their lawyering style mm-hmm. and how they handle cases, how they interact with clients and student attorneys. And then you get to see, well, what do I like? What do I not like? And why? What do I want to take with me? What am I definitely not going to do moving forward? And not even the clinical lawyers, right? Because ours are wonderful, but also like opposing counsel and seeing other attorneys in court and how they communicate with people. I just think that's all super helpful, like data points that's outside of TV.
Yeah. And like the sooner that you can do that in your career, I think the more comfortable and authentic you can feel in your career, because it does take a while, or maybe it takes forever to continue to feel comfortable and develop who you are as an attorney. So doing clinic for 2.5 years, I think, is an excellent way to get a jump start on that and start to learn about that for yourself. So I will ask you, in addition to your work in the legal clinics, were there other things in law school that were important experiences for you, helpful experiences for you?
Absolutely. I was involved as the 1L representative, then the co-president, and now, well, this past semester, the 3L wisdom chair of the first generation.
I like that title.
I love that. I know.
Yeah, the 3L wisdom chair. I'm not sure how much wisdom I actually have to share, but I feel like that's what they call you when you're on your way out. The First Generation Law Students Association here at Michigan Law. And that association that has been my community. Those people have been my community since arriving at Michigan. When I actually came to preview weekend to determine what law school I wanted to go to, the FGLS group actually had a hangout at a local pizza place and got to speak with students and really see myself enjoying Michigan and being successful here, but also feeling like I could be my authentic self. And that didn't have to change just because I was going to law school, and that I didn't have to necessarily change even after law school. And so that community was critical, I think, to my success here and me feeling connected with students in a way beyond just classwork. In addition to FGLS, I was on the Michigan Law Review. I first started out as an associate editor my first semester, and then my last two semesters, I was one of the executive editors. Joining the Law Review was a very intentional choice for me, and that's something I'll speak about later for advice for students, but I went in knowing that it was going to be a lot of work, knowing that it was going to be a lot of time commitment, but something that I wanted to do because I want to be a better writer and particularly a better editor. And I thought the best way for me to do that and get tangible skills coming out of law school was to put myself through what is essentially a pressure cooker of a year and a half of blue booking and editing, because otherwise I won't have that kind of experience moving forward. And I'll have to still blue book and edit as a litigator, or even if you end up being a corporate lawyer, you're going to have to edit documents. But that was really intentional for me. And it was a lot of work, but I actually really enjoyed the experience. I really enjoyed working with all my colleagues, learned a lot of things about grammar and commas that I would not have known otherwise. Still a lot more to learn, but I really enjoyed that experience for what it taught me.
I want to go back for a second to the First Gen Law Students Association that you were a part of. And I know that you were, I think, the first college graduate and the first law school graduate in your family. And so I'm just curious if you can talk a little bit about what it was like going into law school and going into a professional school, having been the first in your family to graduate from college, and how you sort of navigated that throughout law school. It sounded like the group was really important to your development, and, you know, being around sort of like-minded people was one piece of it. But how did you sort of navigate some of the challenges that may have come with that?
Yeah, I think whether or not you're first gen, there are so many barriers to even getting a foot in the door at any law school. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just kind of ridiculous. And even after law school, then you still have to take another exam, pay all these fees. I mean, the entrance to the legal profession is not accessible. And I don't think it was intended to be very accessible for both maybe good and bad reasons. Navigating law school, I think having the first gen community was critical, and having somebody else who also didn't take for granted what other people were talking about. For example, it's not intuitive the way that law school classes are set up, or it's not intuitive some of the like lingo and terms people use, not even in class, but just about law school. Unless you come from that world, you have no idea what people are talking about. And it can feel like you're working at a disadvantage, that there's something you're missing. And for a while, especially during 1L, I think I really struggled with that because I felt like I was missing something. And particularly in the context of figuring out what I wanted to do post-graduation, felt like I had a different set of circumstances and considerations financially than a lot of my colleagues did. But I've tried really hard during law school to reframe that being first gen doesn't mean you're missing something or that you're at a disadvantage, but actually that there's a lot of positives that come from that, including not just like grit and hard work and figuring things out. But I really leaned into that actually when I was interviewing with employers, because I know what it's like to not know what some of this stuff is. And I'm still going to continue dealing with that in my next stage and in the workforce. But I feel like that's a benefit because I was able to connect with my clients during the clinic and will continue to connect with clients because I can speak to them in a non-lawyer way and in a way that's not even condescending, just because I also didn't understand what those terms were or what that actually means practically. And I think that's a huge like virtue actually, because if you don't practice that or don't come from that background, law school will give you the impression that everyone speaks a very formal way and that courtrooms run in a very formal way, but they don't, not always, and not usually with your clients. And so I tried to flip the narrative from something that was a disadvantage to something that actually makes me a better lawyer.
Yeah, I think that's so key. As Hallie was saying earlier, just being who you are as a lawyer, I know is something we talk about quite a bit in clinic, but bringing, you know, your whole self, which includes who you were before you ever decided to go to law school, before you even ever stepped in the door at the University of Michigan Law School, all of that is so valuable to who you are as a lawyer and who you're going to continue to develop to be as a lawyer. And sort of leaving those parts behind would be so unfortunate because there's so many benefits to, you know, as you said, like you have an incredibly unique ability to connect with clients. And you want to make sure you're bringing that skill in. And if you just sort of shut that piece down, that's never going to come into the picture. So bringing your full self, I think, is something that is so critical and something that I think sometimes in law school and if you go to a fancy firm, like all those things can sort of over time like shrink that. And so I think it's something that we should be intentional about trying to make sure that we keep who we are a part of who we are as a lawyer.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that.
So Jessica, you hinted a little bit at some advice that you might have for law students, particularly as it relates to law review. Would love to hear what that is.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest pieces of advice is just like, there's always going to be somebody telling you what you should or shouldn't do in law school and in your legal career. And I can't speak to the career portion yet, but definitely for law school, I mean, in the forms of what classes to pick, whether you should be on a journal, and if so, which one, whether you should clerk for a judge, what kind of job do you want to have after law school, how to study for your final exam, and the list just goes on. And one thing I think is just like a lot of people who are giving this advice also don't know. No one knows what they're doing. Everyone's navigating it together. And for a while, especially as a first gen, I thought, well, maybe my colleagues know this because they came from a family of lawyers. And so it's something that I just didn't think about because I didn't know. But actually, no, people are just like crowdsourcing the same material, irrespective of background. With respect to the journal portion, and this goes for everything, for any kind of activity that you're considering in law school, including activities that are not related to law school at all. You know, I think that one of the best things that you could do for yourself is before starting law school, just sit down and really think about what you want your experience to be over the next 3 years, right? To the degree you can control it, right? With what's in your like hands, what kind of things do you want to be involved in and why? And I think the why is really important, because if you say, well, I want to be on a journal, but if the answer to why is because somebody said I should for whatever reason, and not because I actually want to do that for some reason, then I would really like encourage you to just really think about why you're doing it. And the reason why could be because it could be because you really want it, because it could be because you think you're going to enjoy it, or it could also just be because you think it's going to benefit you in some way, whether that be with tangible skills or making friends or taking a break from law school. That's like an equally valid consideration. Mm-hmm. And just like very few things in law school are required. And at the end of the day, you're paying an institution for your degree. So you should leave with having the experience to the extent you can that you wanted. And that goes for journals as well.
Yeah, that's such good advice. We actually recorded a podcast with Bridget Carr and Vivek Sankaran a couple of weeks ago, and they teach the Leading a Fulfilling Life in the Law course. And that's one of the biggest pieces of advice they had is if you are saying someone told me I should do this, that's a red flag, right? You have to look at what you want to do, why you want to do it, and why it's important to you. And I love that you highlighted that there's so many different reasons that it can be important to someone. You know, it might look totally different why I joined Law Review versus why you joined Law Review, but we both decided to do it because we thought it would be beneficial for us in some way, not because someone said, hey, this is the thing that you should do to check this box because it's a prestigious thing to do or it's the thing you should be doing, but instead, why do you personally want to do it? And I think that's such a good guiding light to check back in with yourself and say, you know, why do I think this would be helpful for me in some way?
Right. And I've had a lot of friends that intentionally chose not to do any journal at all. And they are very happy with their decision. They had time during school to do other things that they wanted, either in their personal life or doing externships or just other things that they had time for. So journals are not like you have to do a journal and then you can decide which one. It's no, actually, a lot of people don't do a journal at all intentionally.
I want to talk a little bit about what you're going to do next. I know you said that clinic sort of helped you to shape your path and decide where it is that you want to be going next. So can you tell us, first of all, what you're doing and how your journey through law school kind of led you to the place where you were able to decide what you want to do next?
Yeah, that's a great question. First is the bar exam.
Yes, which you're going to pass with flying colors.
But then after that, I'm actually going to a firm in New York City to be a litigation associate. And I do not have to specialize with the firm that I'm going to for at least a couple of years. And I'm very excited about that because I don't really know what substantive area of the law I'm interested in. So for a couple of years, I'll work on everything. And then specializing takes the form of a very, very broad category of law, which I'm still excited about because I don't have to really pick something very niche. If I end up deciding I really like something more specific and niche, I will be thrilled to do that. But I think now at the beginning, I know I want to be a litigator. I would like to do pro bono cases and trials as soon as possible, anything in front of the judge. But substantively, I'm just looking forward to exploring all that there is to the law.
I think that's so great. And it's also, I mean, it's kind of the approach that you took to law school, right? You came in with an open mind, thought about the things that you thought you wanted to do, but over time developed things that you realized like, oh man, I really love being in the courtroom. I really love being in front of a judge and arguing on behalf of clients. I love client relationships. And so you sort of steered yourself in that direction, but also, you know, were open-minded with the direction that you were going to kind of go. And it sounds like you'll have that opportunity to do something very similar at the law firm.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it.
So Jessica, you've already given us so much great advice. And we like to end by asking our guests what success means to them. So what does success mean to you, Jessica?
That's a really good question. I think to me, success means that I enjoy what I'm doing and that I'm fulfilled by what I'm doing. Because I think at the end of the day, no matter the accolades, the title, et cetera, like whether or not I enjoy doing something is going to determine whether it feels like work or whether I feel like I am doing something out in the world with my degree that like makes a difference. So I think that can take so many forms. But I think at the end of the day, as long as I am happy with what I'm doing and that I'm fulfilled by what I'm doing, that is success.
I love that. I think that's a perfect way to end. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was a pleasure to have you on. And I know I'm going to miss you so much having you in CCLC. And so I hope that lots of people will tune in and get a lot of wisdom that Jessica was able to share. And congratulations on graduating. I know you're going to go on to do amazing things. Thank you again.
Good luck, Jessica. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Personal Jurisdiction is powered and distributed by Simplecast. You don't have to wait until next week to hear more. You can find us online at personaljxpod.com and on Twitter at personaljxpod. Don't forget to subscribe to Personal Jurisdiction on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen so that you can be updated on the latest and greatest from Personal Jurisdiction. If you like what you hear, make sure to rate us 5 stars and leave a positive review so that other listeners can find our show too.